Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
It's Superman.
Podcast.
Superman was created by Jerome Siegel and Joe Shuster.
Hi, I'm Steven.
And I'm Ian.
And you're listening to...
The Saturday Morning Superman Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Saturday Morning Superman Show, your podcast about Superman in animation across generations with our new co-host, Ian Bates. And we're continuing our Saturday Morning Superman legacy talk. This is episode 3, in which we conclude our coverage of the brief history of the project, of everything up to now. In last week's episode, we kind of covered more of like the up-to-date news and avoided really getting into depth about talking about the casting history and a little bit about the search for Superman, Lois Lane, and Lex Luthor, because big news happened. Not only was it the first week of principal photography, but the project's name was changed from Superman Legacy to Superman, along with getting the first reveal of the Superman crest, which definitely leans heavily into Alex Ross's Superman Kingdom Come, with a little tease of the Fleischer Superman theatrical shorts.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing we keep talking about is just how frequent. It's like every single day we're getting new news, and that's one of the reasons we decided to bring back the Saturday Morning Superman Show anyway. So we thought it prudent to jump ahead a little bit just because that was such a huge bit of news. But now for this final, this part three, I won't say final episode because we are going to be doing more episodes regarding Superman, this upcoming film, as more news drops. But for now, this was kind of our three-part introduction revival for the podcast. And so we're going to take it back a little ways, kind of focusing on May 13th, 2023, up through around July, the middle of July to late July 2023. And we just want to dip back into the history, specifically the casting, because there are a lot of cast members, and I know Steven and I are extremely excited about the entire cast. So this episode's focus will mainly be on like the auditioning, the screen tests, the announcements for the cast, and we'll just give our thoughts. So, Steven, where would you like to begin?
Well, I think the perfect day to begin for two reasons is May 13th, 2023. So a little exciting detail for those of you listening that probably don't know this, as I don't think I ever mentioned this, but May 13th is my birthday.
Holla.
Yeah. And I remember the day on May 13th, 2023, I was at Crave It Pizza in Astoria, New York. It's a pizza joint that I like very much. And I remember waiting on my order and on my phone looking up news and just thinking, oh my gosh, you know, there's Superman news. And, you know, as you all know, for those of you listening, especially to those of you that have listened to the last 2 weeks' Superman Legacy conversations, we've been following this news from arguably 2022, the end of 2022, when they announced James Gunn, Peter Safran, that they would be the co-chairs of DC Films, from back in March 2023, when they announced the slate of films, along with that James Gunn would be writing Superman Legacy, as it was known at the time, and then ultimately directing the project. So May 13th, 2023 was really exciting because not only was it my birthday, but it was also the day that The Hollywood Reporter exclusively would reveal title of article, Searching for Superman, Inside the Quest to Cast DC's Top New Hero. The race to find Clark Kent and Lois Lane has been heating up as top contenders like Nicholas Holt and David Corenswet pull ahead.
Yeah, you know, I remember when this article dropped as well, and it was not my birthday. So, but no, a very, very cool birthday gift for you that day, Stephen. And it's hard to believe that, sheesh, we're sneaking up on almost 2 whole years since that article. I'm sorry, a whole year, rather. But yeah, you know, this was kind of our first real glimpse into the direction. Like, we get these names. We get David Corenswet, Nicholas Holt, Jacob Elordi, I believe, Andrew Richardson. So I think, you know, we've talked a lot about how even before, you know, Superman Legacy was announced, like, people were talking about David Corenswet as, you know, like, being fan cast as Superman. So it was interesting that his name was on the list. And I think a lot of people just instantly attached to that. Nicholas Holt was one that I found kind of interesting, which anyone can bulk up. But, you know, he's kind of tall and lanky. And, you know, he played Renfield and Beast, you know, in the later X-Men trilogy of films. And he's a phenomenal actor. So I know some people were kind of like, oh, that's a far cry, Nick Holt. But I thought it was interesting to see him on there. And I think, regarding, you know, of course, we now know that he is going to be Lex Luthor. But at this point in time, he was auditioning for the role of Clark Kent in Superman. And I, for one, was totally fine with that. So, you know, on the other end, the female lead, Lois Lane, we had Emma Mackey, Rachel Brosnahan, Phoebe, is it Dynevor?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And
Samara Weaving.
Yeah. Which, that list, it's like, damn, how do you narrow that list down? Cause they're all just freaking amazing, actresses. And, I think, much like David Corenswet, for me, I saw Rachel Brosnahan on there and I was immediately like, that's Lois. That's her. That's my Lois. And I love Samara Weaving. The other two I'm a little less familiar with, but I think just seeing Rachel on there, just far and away, I was like, there she is. And I think a lot of people felt that way. Both about her and David Corenswet. So, you know, it's interesting that those are the two that, you know, would pull ahead, but we'll get to that in a bit.
Well, you know, it was interesting that you said how when Nicholas Holt, his name was on the list, because in the original article, from everything that we knew, it was like the main contenders were David Corenswet, Tom Brittany, and Andrew Richardson. They were the early mix contenders. And then, according to the piece, it was that Jacob Elordi was another name that had surfaced for the role of Clark Kent, but sources to The Hollywood Reporter had said that he never submitted himself into the ring. And then around the time of Saltburn, when that premiered and people were asking him, and granted this was already after David Corenswet was cast, he had said that, like, you know, his people had reached out to him and said, you know, would there be any interest in potentially auditioning or submitting a tape for the new Superman, and he said that, like, he really didn't want to do that. So kind of, it's interesting how, yeah, he was a potential candidate, but in name only. But really, the three top ones were Tom Brittany, Andrew Richardson, and David Corenswet. But what I want to mention specifically, though, about what you had said regarding Nicholas Holt and how a lot of fans were saying, well, he's a far cry, and we don't necessarily see the vision. It's always interesting when we get these candidates for a role like Superman or Batman, because I feel like time and time again, we get the names and, you know, they're never anyone that's on, like, the fan list.
Uh-huh.
Where, you know, people, I remember for Lex Luthor for Batman versus Superman, before it was even a Batman versus Superman, and people were just expecting that Lex would be, you know, the villain in A Man of Steel 2. And people were like, oh, it's going to be Bryan Cranston, or, oh, we're hearing Tom Hanks is potentially in the running, or we hear maybe like Mark Strong might do it. And I remember, you know, Bryan Cranston being one of like the number one name. Mm-hmm. But I always wanted Mark Strong. I thought he would be really excellent. So when Jesse Eisenberg was announced, it was such an inspired out of left field choice that it was a name that never, not once surfaced anywhere. And, you know, like you look at something like Batman 1989 with Michael Keaton, or you look at The Dark Knight in 2008 with Heath Ledger. And I remember, you know, it's almost as prolific as the movie itself, that the backlash was so loud that like people were like, Michael Keaton can't be Batman. And like Heath Ledger can't be the Joker. And then of course the left is the rest of history. So I think that in another multiverse, if you will, I think Nicholas Holt could have done it. I don't see any issue with him being Clark Kent. I think he definitely has like the look, and you said like definitely, you know, anyone could bulk up and you know, work for that physicality that the role would require. But out of the candidates, David Corin Sweat was definitely the one that I was most excited by virtue of just him being the name that I was most familiar with. I didn't really know Andrew Richardson, and I didn't really know Tom Brittany. And in like when I had to Google them to like see what they were all about, they didn't really have like the Superman look to me. But the interesting thing about David Corin Sweat is that I feel like this is that exception to the Jesse Eisenberg kind of situation, where David Corin Sweat was a name that fans were suggesting from way back when it was between Batman versus Superman and Black Adam, where we were in this limbo of not knowing if Henry Cavill was going to reprise, you know, the role of Superman or not. And I remember there were so many fan art pieces that would be generated across social media of David Corin Sweat as Clark Kent and as Superman. So it was really quite interesting when this article came out and his name was a part of it, because it had almost felt like he was already a part of Superman, even though he wasn't, you know, for the years prior to the project.
Yeah. You know, it's polarizing how uptight, you know, the especially comic book fans, and you know, you and I are comic book fans, and I think we are very much in the relaxed department when it comes, you know, to that fan base. You know, I remember when Pattinson was like officially announced as Batman, and people were like, oh my god, are you kidding me? Edward Cullen, like sparkly vampire boy? And I was kind of like, yeah, but have you seen him in the other stuff? I bet you haven't. Like, have you seen The Lighthouse? Have you seen Tenet? I feel like somebody like Nicholas Holt, it could have been very, very similar into how people reacted with, you know, Pattinson being announced. So I'm looking at the article right now, and it looks like they were speculating in the article that Holt could have been up for Lex Luthor even this early, not just Superman. And I'd forgotten, it also says he was the runner up to play Batman in the Matt Reeves movie. So that's super interesting. That's like, he's been playing with DC for a long time, and it's cool to see, you know, we now know that he is playing Lex Luthor. It's cool to see that he's finally got that part at DC after missing out on Batman and maybe being Superman, and now he comes out as Lex Luthor. So it's fascinating to look back and, you know, when you know what you know now regarding the complete cast list, to go back and, you know, almost a whole year, and here's the short list, and it's cool to see how everything ends up lying on the table.
And, you know, as we've mentioned in the previous episodes and conversations that we've had multiple times, that's one of the things that makes following the movies so much fun, is that, you know, if you're a fan of the film, and, you know, we're taking Superman, for example, you know, you're going to be a part of every bit of news as it breaks. And Superman is one of those like top three things that I Google every day.
Oh yeah.
And so like the second news comes out, if I'm not discovering it initially on a Google search, you know, I'm finding out on social media alongside everyone else because somebody else reposted something, somebody's sharing the news and it's breaking to me. Somebody DMs me something or, you know, just, we're all collectively seeing it at the same time and we're all collectively getting excited about the same time. And I remember back, you know, between May 13th, when the Hollywood Reporter released that these were the front runners for both Superman, Clark Kent, and Lois Lane. And then on June 8th, 2023, when the Hollywood Reporter and Deadline further reported about the screen testing for Superman Legacy, you know, it was very exciting because everybody had their input. And I think this was also one of those rare occasions where collectively everyone wanted David Corenswet to play Superman. And then you, of course, had the people that were like, well, he looks too much like Henry Cavill and what's going on? And it's like arguments that don't really make much sense. It's like, well, Christopher Reeve, you know, Henry Cavill, you know, David Corenswet, like they're tall guys. They have that Superman look. I mean, like, what do you want? You know?
Yeah.
But it was really exciting to be a part of this. And I got to say, it's really exciting to be doing this episode with you because for me as a fan, you know, I've been through the Nicolas Cage, Tim Burton, you know, Superman Lives era. I think privately I had mentioned that we, you know, just in one of our like conversations that we had, that the Superman movie was something that I was anticipating from back when I was a kid all the way through the 90s. And this was prior to Superman Lives. This was post Superman Lives. And I remember every step of the way leading to Superman Returns in 2006, where it was like, okay, like, are we going to get the Nicolas Cage one? And then it doesn't happen. And then, okay, like, we're going to maybe get something with J.J. Abrams or Mick G. And, you know, it's looking like maybe it's going to be Ashton Kutcher or it's going to be, you know, Brendan Fraser, or it's going to be Josh Hartnett. And there were always all these different ideas that were swirling around. And I remember one of the closest moments, I don't know if it was Superman Flyby, but it was, I think it was Superman Flyby, but it might have been the Brett Ratner one. And I think Flyby was the J.J. Abrams one, where Matt Bomer looked like he was going to be the guy. And I remember being so excited. I think it was in the summer where it was like maybe a TV Guide or Starlog article. And I remember thinking like, oh my gosh, like Matt Bomer's going to be the next Superman. And it was so exciting to then just look at all of his like credits up till then. And he was still fairly new. This was before White Collar or anything like that. And interestingly, he would go off to voice Superman in animation in the Superman animated film Superman Unbound. But I remember believing that it was going to be him at one point. So when Brandon Routh was announced for Superman Returns for Bryan Singer, I was super excited, pun heavily intended, because it was just like, this is going to be the guy that's going to be Superman. And I remember I was collecting every magazine cover appearance with Brandon Routh because I just wanted to be on the ground floor for this new young actor that was going to be taking on the role. And similarly, I did the same with Henry Cavill. And so it's really cool to be talking about Superman and the casting of Superman and David Corenswet with you, but on the Saturday Morning Superman Show, and to also be doing a podcast in the year 2024, 1 year before Superman comes out in July 2025. It's very surreal to me as a Superman fan.
Yeah, it's really special. And I love how you broke down it, just, you know, the timeline, like, you know, you're waiting, and then the Tim Burton, Nicolas Cage, you know, Superman Lives didn't happen. And something else you said that I kind of want to take note of is, like, you know, it was a TV Guide or something like that where news broke. And, you know, that wasn't all that long ago, but still, you know, even 15, 20 years ago, we didn't get news regarding film. We didn't get news in general the way we do now, but regarding film and TV and pop culture updates online the way we do now. And it's cool that, you know, I remember scouring, like anything that I was interested in, Heroes, Lost, you know, whatever, that, you know, early 2000s period. And, you know, you'd go to Barnes & Noble and you'd go look for magazines and try to find articles with any sort of tidbit of information. Whereas now it's like, you know, we keep talking about James Gunn and how much, you know, he's posting and sharing multiple times a week with information. And it's just such a different world where we get our information. And I'm sure a lot of it has to do with the fact that we've grown up and we're older. It doesn't feel like we have to wait as long to get information regarding, you know, the things that we're interested in. And I'm sure that's just the world we live in today, where it's everything's like you get it at a click of a button. But still, I just feel like information is also a lot more difficult to keep secret and keep at bay. And I know, you know, everyone at Marvel has to sign all these non-disclosure agreements, and I'm sure DC's the same way, but it's like, you know, they have to lie. They literally have to lie to, like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm not in that. So it is really cool to see, you know, day by day, we're getting little pieces of the puzzle. Yeah, you know, moving to like June 8th, we get of 2023, we get the in-person screen tests are on the horizon at Warner Brothers in Burbank. And it's something I thought about a lot lately, because I went out to California for the first time in October of last year, and I toured the Warner Brothers lot. So I was walking around Warner Brothers, and it was amazing. Got to see like the entire back lot, and you know, there's a huge portion of the of the lot that's like a whole DC chamber, essentially. And they have, you know, Michael Keaton's original bat suit and one of the Batmobiles and the Tumbler, and you know, there's Henry Cavill's suit, anything and everything you can think of. So I wasn't really in the mindset of like fully looking forward to this movie when I was out there, and I kind of wish I was, because I probably would have been walking around the back lot with a totally different, you know, just emotional experience. But no, it's cool to look back now and think like, hey, you know, David Corn Sweat and company, they were all in costume as Clark, one day as Superman, and Emma Mackey and Rachel Brosnahan and everybody was there on the back lot in Burbank. So do you want to talk a little bit more about that, Stephen?
Well, of course, absolutely. I want to quote the article from Deadline, where it says, insiders close to the process say the first in-person test with the DC co-heads Peter Safran and James Gunn, who is writing and directing the pick, will take place around Father's Day weekend or the Monday or Tuesday after, with Nicholas Holt, David Corn Sweat, and Tom Brittany expected to test for Clark Kent, a.k.a. Superman, and Emma Mackey, Rachel Brosnahan, and Phoebe Dynevor testing for Lois Lane. Sources added that some of the test deals are still being negotiated and haven't all closed, but that as of now, these are the names expected to participate in the auditions. So this article is where we really kind of filtered out a lot of the initial news, and we learned that it was positively going to be Nicholas Holt, David Corn Sweat, Tom Brittany as Superman, and Emma Mackey, Rachel Brosnahan, and Phoebe Dynevor as Lois Lane. And again, from this list, David Corn Sweat was the name that stood out to me. And I like Emma Mackey. I love Rachel Brosnahan. I followed The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon Prime and thought it was terrific. And Phoebe Dynevor, I'm not too familiar with. But I remember out of those names, to me, it was just like, I really, really hope it's going to come down to David Corn Sweat and Rachel Brosnahan. And of course, you know, like DC Studios had no comment on the second round of tests, and like nothing else was to be said. But it was exciting because from May 13th, to June 8th, it was really where we were getting news, and we knew imminently that someone was going to be cast, and it was going to be soon. And I think that was a very exciting time, because for me, and I think for a lot of fans, we could really feel it in our bones that David Corenswet seemed like he was going to be the guy. Same with Rachel Brosnahan. I want to go back to the Hollywood Reporter article, because it originally said that it was said and believed that she delivered an outstanding audition, but they felt that she might be too old for the role of Lois Lane. So there was some possibility that maybe that's something that might be cautioned. But people were very, very keen on her playing Lois Lane from that early part of news. And I was very, very excited and hopeful that it would be between the two of them.
I'm glad you mentioned the age. You know, Rachel's only 32. She might be 33 now. Depends on when her birthday is regarding that original article. So I still think that she's perfect for the role. And she has this. She has this charm. She also has a bit of grit, and she captures the elements of Dana Delaney, and the and of course I'm saying this like I've seen her play Lois Lane. Of course we haven't, but just what I have seen of Rachel, I think that she's just like, she looks like Lois Lane. I think she's going to embody everything that makes Lois Lane the powerful toe-to-toe, you know, goes toe-to-toe with Superman, not as a villain, of course, or an enemy, but as, like, you know, she doesn't get pushed around, and that's why we all love Lois Lane. So, yeah, you know, I was so excited to see her, and, you know, she's going to be perfect.
Well, my homework for you is, before Superman comes out in July 2025, that you need to watch the complete series of The Marvelous Mrs. Sure. Maisel on Amazon.
I definitely will, yeah.
I think you're going to love it. It's hilarious, and just, it's such a well-written, well-performed show. And all you need to do is watch episode one, and you'll know immediately that everything that you believe in her and what she'll bring to Lois Lane is a bet you can certainly make that if there's one thing to be said about when Superman opens, people will universally love her as Lois Lane.
Yeah, no, that's exciting. And I definitely intend to check out that entire series. I feel like I owe it to Rachel Brosnahan, just because I am like offering up the highest praise, and you know, that's the least I can do as a fan.
Now, let me ask you something. Out of all the live action Lois Lane that we've had, who would you pick as your favorite?
Oh gosh, man, put me on the spot here. That is that's a hard question. You know, I feel like I live in the world of animation with Superman more than anything else. But I'm probably gonna pull, because I love film of all eras, but I'm probably going to pull a 70s, 80s card on you and go, I got to go with Margot Kidder. I feel as though Dana Delaney played a little bit off of Margot Kidder's take on Lois Lane. I think Dana Delaney, you know, of course it was animated, but I think she made it her own, but it still kind of felt like she made nods to Margot Kidder more than anything else. And I'm a huge horror fan, and you know, Margot Kidder played an awesome role in 1974's Black Christmas, and she's in the Amityville Horror, which I think was 79, so it came out the year after, you know, Superman, the movie. She's spunky, she's kind of infuriating in that original film. There's times you just want to pull your hair out when you're watching her, but you know, she's so sure of herself, and she's so sure of Superman. And so I think that's just a really, really fun kind of unique performance that Margot gives as Lois. So she's definitely my favorite.
No, I think that's a great choice. I think that we won't lose any listeners to the podcast with an answer like that.
Right, right.
I believe that Rachel is definitely going to really deliver something very fun that's going to speak to, again, fans across generations. I think we've had so many different wonderful takes on the character, and I think that that's also a thing that really makes a character like Superman so exciting because of his longevity, and that we've seen numerous iterations of him in animation, on film, you know, not to mention, you know, comic books, that every performance is a new way into the character. And in a sense, it's all like the same character. It's all the same Lois Lane. And you learn more about Lois Lane. You learn more about Superman with each new performance, that it's just an insight that you might not have had prior. And I really think that the casting for Superman with David Corenswet and Rachel Brosnahan and of course Nicholas Holt, it's on that level of Superman the Animated Series. And again, you know, there's somewhat of a distinction between live action and animation, but the performances that we got on that show between Tim Daly and Dana Delaney, like the chemistry that they had was just so perfect. Not to mention Clancy Brown, who I think is as prolific as Lex Luthor, as Mark Hamill is to the Joker.
Sure.
I believe we're going to get that, and we're going to see a live translation of that on screen. And I think you can also make the argument that it is an extension of what we had with Superman the movie and that approach. But James Gunn said this one's going to be called Superman, so the gauntlet is thrown down for this to be even better.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, you know, it's quite the statement. I know we said last week's episode it's the mission statement. So he's got his work cut out for him, but, you know, I think you and I are both believers. And if it's any indication regarding, like, just the relationship that we're hoping for between Clark, Superman, and Lois, moving on to June 26th, 2023, that's when the Hollywood Reporter, they broke the news that, inside the Superman Legacy screen tests, as Decision 2023 dragged into its second week. I love how this article opens with the Flash not proving to be the box office savior Warner Brothers was anticipating. The pressure on new DC studio heads James Gunn and Peter Safran has increased exponentially. And I just had to laugh because, you know, I was so hopeful for The Flash, and it crashed and burned in my opinion. But I don't feel as though, of course there's going to be pressure on the studio heads, but I felt like it was almost a positive thing, because they had been talking about, maybe The Flash would be like the Flashpoint comic book series, and that's kind of what would reboot everything, and so some of the characters would continue into this new universe. And it seems like once The Flash just bombed at the box office the way it did, they kind of decided, like, yeah, we're not even gonna do that, like, this is all gonna be new. And I while I do like that Gunn and Safran have decided, like, they're gonna still utilize, you know, John Cena as Peacemaker, and sounds like Viola Davis is gonna be Amanda Waller, there's a handful of people that they've already confirmed will continue. But to get to the point,
well, before we do, I do want to elaborate on that, because I think that that is an interesting point. Yeah. To just briefly make mention of that we really still don't have any answers in regards to how Superman Creature Commandos is the first project,
right,
in Chapter One, and then it begins truly in earnest with Superman. And we still don't know exactly, you know, how they're doing this new slate of DC films, because, the Flash, yes, it was initially believed that, okay, we're going to have that Flashpoint event that's going to lead to like a new 52, if you will, to a rebirth of the DC Films properties. But then that didn't happen, or it didn't happen in the way that we're understanding. So for all we know, it's like, okay, this is a new Superman, easy to accept because, you know, it happens all the time in the comic books. Mm-hmm. But to have that distinction where, okay, you go from having a new Superman, we're going to have a new Batman in the Batman Brave and the Bold. But we're going to have, you know, John Cena back as Peacemaker, and we're going to have Viola Davis back as Amanda Waller, and how that interacts with this new world. Is it same actors playing a new version of the character? Because you could easily accept that, because I feel like while Viola Davis was in the Suicide Squad, you know, you can make the argument that, okay, this is just like, you know, it's like Judi Dench playing M,
right?
You know, in the Pierce Brosnan movies, and then in the Daniel Craig Bond movies, where it's like, you know, same character, but, you know, like it's also a different, same actress, but, you know, a different take on the character.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you could accept, you know, the same thing with like the Batman movies, where you had someone like Michael Goth as Alfred, from, you know, Keaton to Kilmer to George Clooney. But one of the small details about Batman Forever is that was considered a reboot,
mm-hmm,
from the Michael Keaton era. So it's a completely different Batman, a completely different Gotham. But you have the same actor playing Alfred.
Yeah, yeah. And as well as Pat Hingle as Commissioner Gordon. Those were the two. Yeah, yeah. And I loved them. That was part of the fun of those movies, was having the two of them return. I think the other character, an actor that they mentioned, it sounds like is slated to return, is Zolo Maridueña, who played Jaime Reyes in Blue Beetle. It sounds like he's also going to come back in some shape or form. So, yeah, I'm interested. Honestly, at this point, it sounds like there's not going to be any deep explanation. And I could be wrong. Like, they could do some, you know, prelude event thing. You know, I don't know. Like, that's a huge amount of speculation. I kind of foresee it as the stuff that happened in The Flash altered everything, and there's probably gonna be like waves, you know, that they come and they go, and it's just gonna alter the whole landscape of the DCU. And, well, you know, we'll still have Peacemaker, we'll still have the same Blue Beetle, sounds like the same Amanda Waller, but they're probably just gonna, you know, continue with their storylines and act like nothing else happened. And I'm kind of fine with that. You know, like you said, I think it's the perfect analogy is Judi Dench as M. Like, there didn't need to be any explanation. Like, you knew her in the Pierce Brosnan films, and she shows back up in the Daniel Craig movies, and it was like, yeah, great. Like, she's the same character, but a different incarnation of that character, and it's totally
fine. That's the thing, like, I'm sorry to cut you off, but no, audiences didn't even give any thought to that.
Exactly.
You can watch Tomorrow Never Dies, The World Is Not Enough, Die Another Day, go into Casino Royale, and yeah, different James Bond, but audiences didn't need that to be explained. And I think the great service to a project like Superman, especially Superman being the first one out of the gate for the live action medium, is that you don't need all of that explained. It's just kind of like Tony Stark in Iron Man 2 with Rhodey, where it's like, where Don Cheadle says, look, it's me, I'm here, deal with it. You know, like, and it's just so quick that I don't think, you know, while the fans might feel that, okay, we need this explained, we need to know where this fits in, it's like, yeah, but you don't. Like, let's just sit in and enjoy it. You know, you didn't need Matt Reeves to establish that the Batman's in Earth, you know, whatever. You know, it's just, let's just sit and watch the film and enjoy the story that they wanted to take us on.
Yeah, you know, it kind of harkens back to what I was saying earlier about, you know, the comic book fans are so anal about all the little details and everything. And in one regard, I respect that. Like, I adore, you know, tight plot threads, and but on the other hand, everybody has ripped the DC film universe up to shreds for the past decade. And it's like they nitpick it and they hate this and they hate that. And so, you know, the last four movies, I won't say completely bombed, but did not do what they wanted to do at the box office. And it's like, well, we know that chapter's closed. So why are you going to be all pissed off when we go into this brand new, like totally different reboot and you don't get an explanation of how or if it ties into the old one? It's like, we can't have your cake and eat it too. Like, you're going to be pissed off about everything no matter what, or you're going to sit in the chair and enjoy the Man of Steel's epic return to the big screen. You know, that's how I feel.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I really, you know, I hope the audiences receive this as it's intended. And I just hope that July 2025 finds comic book audiences in a kinder mood. Because, you know, we've seen it with quite a few of the latest superhero movies where, you know, if it's not MCU or MCU adjacent, it's already has to be the worst movie of all time. And I don't really buy that mentality. We spoke about this, and I'll just mention this really briefly so we could get back to talking about Superman and the casting. But we both grew up where we would get one superhero movie every few years. You know, specifically for us, we grew up, you know, in the Batman movie era, where it was only Batman in the 90s, for the most part. You had Batman in 89, Returns in 92, Forever in 95, and then Batman and Robin in 1997. While we had Steel in between then, you know, we only had those Batman movies. And then from 97 to skipping over 98, you know, 99, like the Blade, you know, that first Blade mm-hmm. movie, we'll just jump from 97 to 2000, where we had X-Men. So from 97 to 2000, you know, that was a wait where we didn't get any comic book movies. And I think that the audiences at the time, especially for people like us in that last, like, younger generation of growing up with comic book movies for the first time, it was just such a pleasant reward to be sitting in a movie theater and see the Marvel Comics logo come up. And it wasn't Marvel Studios, but it was just the Marvel comic pages flipping ahead of The Punisher or Spider-Man 2 or Fantastic Four. And regardless of the movie, it was just a fun event. And maybe you liked it more than the previous one. Maybe you liked it a little less than the previous one, but you still received it. And yeah. Now, you know, like, if it's not like if Morbius or Madame Web, you know, doesn't acknowledge that it's in the same universe with Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield or Tom Holland, and it doesn't, you know, show, you know, a poster of Tony. It's like, I'm sorry, but who gives, you know? Yeah, like let's just see these characters come to life, you know, especially characters that, you know, we never thought we would see in live action. And I just want to close that out with saying that for people like us that grew up with something like Spider-Man, the animated series, and Superman, the animated series, just to see the characters represented was exciting. Never in a million years did I think we would get Morbius or Madame Web or Kraven, you know, in a film, unless they were the main villain in a Spider-Man movie. So just to see them in live action is pretty exciting. And I feel that Superman is tapping into that, where, you know, similar to like what Peter Safran said, where we're really like paraphrasing here, but we're really milling this to turn, you know, the lesser known characters into the diamond properties of tomorrow. Superman boasts an enormous cast. And I know some people believe that it could take the focus away from Superman, but I don't believe James Gunn would put these characters in there if he felt at all that it was going to do a disservice to the integrity of a Superman movie. And I believe they're in there with a purpose. So to think about seeing Hawkgirl, Mr. Terrific, Green Lantern, who we haven't seen since Ryan Reynolds, let alone that we're seeing the Authority, I mean, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's one of the things that really captured me. You know, of course, I was excited when the initial slate of films was announced, and it sounded like there was going to be so much cohesion and, you know, they're going to fit together so tightly. But once they announced this cast, you know, Isabella Marquette, Edie Gathegi, Nathan Fillion as Guy Gardner. And I know, like, he was fan cast as Hal Jordan for like a whole decade. People, you know, we want Nathan Fillion as Hal Jordan. And he voiced Hal in, you know, some of the animated films. So I think it's kind of tongue in cheek to have him not as Hal Jordan, but as Guy Gardner. It's fascinating to me that to your point about James Gunn essentially mentioning that these characters are in here for a purpose. They're not in here for cameo porn. They add to the story in a very real way. And I raised the question as a comic book fan and a Superman fan and just a massive DC fan in general, with these heroes that are, you know, 100% confirmed and cast in the film, if these are the heroes we're getting, who the hell are the villains we're getting? You know, to have a Green Lantern, Hawkgirl, Mr. Terrific, Metamorpho. I am just so fascinated because, you know, like you said, these are some of the who I would consider the lesser known, unless you're a mega DC fan. And this is their chance to shine and potentially become diamond status, and, you know, in various shapes and forms. Are they going to be more well known, widely regarded, more popular? Who knows what's going to happen? But there's just so much that they can do, and I love picking apart, like, if you know the DCU at all, and I've been reading comic books like for freaking 20 years now, and it's like, gosh, these are some really interesting, super cool characters that are going to be seen alongside Superman. So what do you think, Steven?
Yeah, I really couldn't possibly add anything onto that, because it's exactly how I feel. You know, as you were saying that, I was just kind of like refreshing, you know, my memory with like just people that we forgot. But, you know, between like Edie Gathegi, Nathan Fillion, Isabella Marquette, to, you know, like Anthony Carrigan as mm-hmm. Metamorpho, you know, just the authority who's going to be present in there. And all we know is that aside from that, that Nicholas Holt, and on November 20th, 2023, we're kind of jumping around a little bit, was that it was revealed that he was cast as Lex Luthor at the moment James Gunn hadn't confirmed it. And so we've come to understand that if James Gunn doesn't announce it, then it's not true yet. But once he announces it, then it is. And it was shortly after that that he posted on social media, him and Nicholas Holt, saying that, you know, it's all been finalized and that Nicholas Holt will be Lex Luthor. But I feel like there's so much casting that we don't yet know, because, okay, granted, it's possible that, sure, Martha and Jonathan Kent won't be in the movie. It's possible that Jor-El and Lara won't be in the movie. Sure, I can accept that. But do I believe that? No. And that's something that, you know, I know fans were speculating, oh, maybe, you know, this would be a perfect opportunity to see Brendan Fraser as, you know, Jonathan Kent, or this would be a perfect opportunity to see Kurt Russell as Jor-El, which would be the second time nice. That Kurt Russell has worked with James Gunn, because he was Ego in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. And there's a lot of these possibilities that we still don't know yet. When James Gunn released the cast photo after their first table read, we learned that Otis was going to be in the movie.
Yeah.
And that was something that, like, we didn't yet know about the movie. We never had any Hollywood Reporter article that said that Otis was going to be in the film.
Yeah, and it's crazy exciting. And that's the stuff that James Gunn is doing in a very atypical way that I think is just serving the fans so well, where it's like, he's not coming out and saying like, oh, let me make a post specifically to announce, you know, forgive me, I can't even remember the actor's name that's playing Otis.
Terrence Rosemore.
Yeah, and so they announce that Otis is in the film, and Terrence Rosemore is playing him, just on this Instagram post from the table. I love that. That's how he's doing his announcements. Like, it's engaging. It's interesting. It gives the fans something to look forward to. They have to do a little work themselves. Like, you look at the photo, you're looking around, you read the caption, and you know, that's how you find out this information. And it's like piecing this puzzle in a fun way. So I think there's another actor, and this was ages ago, I think that he was not officially announced to have anything to do with Superman. But it sounds like and Gunn has his go-to guys that he works with, you know, Nathan Fillion being one of them. But they I know at some point they announced Michael Rooker potentially being involved in some capacity. And so I would love to see Michael Rooker pop in here as anything, like maybe Parasite or Metallo. You know, who knows? But I would not at all be surprised to see Michael Rooker show up in some form in this movie.
Yeah, that gets me really excited, because the thing is, Michael Rooker is somebody that's worked with James Gunn quite a bit. I think he would be perfect as General Sam Lane, as Lois's father, or even like a character like Bibbo Bobowski.
Yeah.
In the cartoon. If he were to play someone like Parasite or Metallo, all for it. But even just to have him like as a supporting player, where it's just, okay, he's in there, I think that would be fun. We also can't forget that Sean Gunn, James Gunn's brother, he's going to be Maxwell Lord.
Yeah. So that was another recast, because, you know, Pedro Pascal played him in Wonder Woman 84. That's a cool reshaping. And I think a lot of people weren't thrilled with how Maxwell Lord was handled in that movie. So this seems like it's kind of a do-over for the character. And, you know, who knows how he's going to play into things. So that's the fun. Like, you get all these little puzzle pieces. And if you know who the characters are, if you're, you know, well-versed in your DC lore, it's like, well, the possibilities are endless.
And, you know, I want to make mention roughly. So you have Isabella Merced as Hawkgirl, Eddie Gathegi as Mr. Terrific, Nathan Fillion as the Guy Gardner version of Green Lantern, Anthony Carrigan as Metamorpho, Maria Gabriella de Faria as the Engineer, a member of the Authority. Then you have Sarah Sampaio as Eve Tessmacher, Miss Tessmacher, who we met in the original Superman the movie. Skylar Gazando is Jimmy Olsen.
Who's perfect. And I just have to say, Skylar is oh my gosh. And he's another one that I feel like was such a fan cast, but just perfect for Jimmy Olsen.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
Sorry to cut you off.
No, that's all right. And then we have, Terrence Rosemore as Otis. The Terrence Rosemore as Otis, that was something that we only learned through that photo. But also the most recent news, James Gunn, I don't think is yet to post this, but I'm sure it's going to come out, is that Wendell Pierce is going to be Perry White.
I got some things to say about Wendell Pierce. If you're not familiar with Wendell Pierce, do yourself a favor. Go watch The Wire. He's one of the main cast members, and that's one of the greatest TV shows of all time. And he is freaking phenomenal. And there's a show that premiered back in 1999. It ran 6 seasons. It is one of my favorite television shows of all time. It's streaming on Roku Channel or Tubi or one of the free to stream shows called Third Watch. And it was essentially a show about New York City, paramedics, firefighters, and police officers during the Third Watch, which was like the 2 p.m. to 11 p.m. shift. And Wendell Pierce plays this like beat cop who's a dirty cop. And he goes by the name of Candyman is his street name, and he's a cop. And he is just devious in that TV show, and he's so fun to watch, and he's a phenomenal actor. I feel like if you know The Wire, you're definitely are familiar with him. But he can play seedy, he can play quiet. So it's going to be really, really fun to see his take on Perry White, and I cannot be more excited to have him as Perry.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I love Wendell Pierce. I've enjoyed him from Suits. I've enjoyed him on Jack Ryan, the new version on Amazon Prime. He's a phenomenal actor. I loved him on The Wire as well. And it's just, you think about the bullpen aspect of the Daily Planet. You have Wendell Pierce as Perry White, Skylar Gazondo as Jimmy Olsen, and then David Corenswet and Rachel Brosnahan as Clark Kent and Lois Lane. And you know, just like when you think of a really inspired, energetic take on these characters, this reminds me a lot of that kind of casting that we had with Spider-Man 1, or should we call it Spider-Man the Movie?
Right.
But Spider-Man 1, you know, it had Tobey Maguire, Kirsten Dunst, James Franco, Willem Dafoe as like the four main leads. And at that time, you know, I'd probably say arguably Kirsten Dunst might have been like the most, her and Willem Dafoe
are
possibly the more seasoned of the actors. Not counting Rosemary Harris and anyone else, really, of course.
J.K. Simmons. You
know, yeah, J.K. Simmons, yeah. But it was really an exciting cast because you were able to grow with those characters through their performances, where it wasn't like you were going into it and thinking that, oh, like, this is so-and-so, but they're playing a character. There wasn't any of that overpowerment of a performer over a character. And I feel like for everybody in the initial cast for Superman, with the exception of Nicholas Holt and Rachel Brosnahan to an extent, because I understand that, you know, not everybody has watched Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. You know, this is a very young, fresh cast, especially with David Corenswet, where, you know, right now the grander world doesn't really know him. And, you know, sometimes comic book people think that, you know, that's the whole picture, and it's really not. It's not like, you know, it's a very small, you know, percentage. So when the movie comes out, the person who David Corenswet is now and how we're talking about him is going to be a completely different person by July 25. And I think the same goes for everybody, because it's like Skylar Gazondo, well-seasoned actor. He was actually in the Mark Webb Spider-Man movies, as Gwen Stacy's brother. It's going to be really exciting for everybody to now, like, that's Jimmy Olsen, that's Clark Kent, that's Lois Lane. And that, to me, it's going to be very exciting to see how that plays out, because here we're talking about all these names. Some people are like, oh, that's cool, maybe I know them, maybe I don't. But by July 25, everybody's going to know these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's so fun when it is somebody not as well known, and you get to see them, you get to grow with them from the beginning. And I think that's something that we're going to 100% experience with David Corenswet. And I hope, you know, we keep talking about, we're hoping and praying if this one's a hit, that we finally get a true born Superman trilogy. And that would just be so fun to see finally happen. And you know, if it takes a decade, if it's one every 5 years, if like the sequel to Superman, you know, comes out in 2030, and then the third and final film comes out in 2035, that's something that is just really thrilling to me. And you know, there is pressure. There's pressure on this one, on everybody involved. But it sounds like the pressure is kind of like, you know, hardening coal into a diamond. And it sounds like we very well may get a diamond out of this. And I'm thrilled.
So I grew up with Sam Raimi's Spider-Man films, as most of us did. When Spider-Man 1 came out in, what was that, 2002? Mm-hmm. I was already in junior high, and then I was in high school by the time of Spider-Man 2 and 3. I was actually graduating high school by the time of Spider-Man 3. So those movies came out at a perfect formative time for me growing up. I've recently gone back and developed a further appreciation specifically for Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2. I love those movies very, very much. And I was very excited to follow that news from 1 all the way to 2 and 3. Also in Forest Hills, they filmed quite a bit of it there. So for Spider-Man 1 and 2, I actually got to meet Tobey Maguire, Kirsten Dunst, and Sam Raimi.
Oh, nice.
Twice. I met them during the filming of 1 and 2.
Wow.
And then 3, I got to meet Topher Grace. And so I even have at home like an autographed picture that I made that they all signed for me. I made one picture for 1 picture for 2. Mom, Dad, if you're listening to this, your homework. So Ian's homework for you Saturday Morning Superman Show listeners is that by the time July rolls around, he needs to have watched all of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. My job for you, Mommy and Daddy, is that you need to find the autographed picture that Tobey Maguire, Sam Raimi, and Kirsten Dunst signed for me for either Spider-Man 1 and 2. It's probably still in that wooden frame somewhere. And the goal is to find it before July 2025. But I'm so excited for Superman. The casting, especially now that it's mostly complete, has me on that level of hype where, to name a now defunct website, Spider-Man Hype. It was a site that I followed all the time. It's now Superhero Hype. And personally, I don't think it's the same. Spider-Man Hype was something else, especially for those of you that remember. And I can't wait for Superman. I am so excited once again that the Saturday Morning Superman Show is back and that we're doing Saturday Morning Superman Legacy Talk episodes. I hope you've all been enjoying them. And next week, it's not even a secret at this point, next week is the start of our Saturday Morning Superman Show Season 3 coverage of Superman the Animated Series Season 2. Episode by episode, we're going back to commentary, baby.
I am so looking forward to this. It was my favorite thing when I first stumbled upon the podcast Saturday Morning Superman Show. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, there's so many podcasts out there that do episode by episode coverage of Batman TAS, and I swear, to my knowledge, this is the only one that's doing coverage episode by episode for Superman TAS. So that's something that it's just like, well, if that ain't special, I cannot wait. And so I have watched Superman TAS in its entirety. I think I mentioned previously it's the only of like that series of animated shows that I've watched front to back. And as much of a Batman fan that I am, I never finished. I finished the original 85 episodes, but I never finished the new Batman adventures. I've never finished Justice League. I've never finished Justice League Unlimited. I've never finished Batman Beyond. So that's something that I am also actively working on. But yeah, because of the podcast, like I watched all of Superman TAS, back in I probably finished it in 2021. So I'm thrilled to hop back into season 2, which, you know, premiered in 1997 and went through 1998. And there are 28 episodes to cover. So you've got at least 28 weeks of content as we march towards Superman's premiere in July of 2025.
And we just keep on getting better.
That's right.
And again, for those of you that have been listening, we really appreciate your support. If you're listening, be sure to give us a like, a download if you can. If you want to leave like a review or comment, we more than appreciate it. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you're looking forward to. Share something that maybe you'd like us to cover, and we'll definitely be more than glad to address it. Coming back to the Saturday Morning Superman Show is such a gift. I have to thank my co-host and my brother and friend, Ian Bates, for being so magnificent and super in his own right. He's given me so much joy and peace in my heart to be doing this again, and it's a blast that I hope you're all enjoying. So on that note, Ian, where can we find you?
You can find me over on Instagram at Ian the Wolfman for my personal. You can also follow me on my other endeavors at Universal Studios Monsters and at FNV.podcast for the Friday Night Video Podcast.
And you can follow me at Sherbert Downey Jr. on Instagram. Please follow Saturday Morning Superman Show across social media pages. All of this is in the show notes on whatever platform you're listening to, be it Podbean, CastBox, Spotify, you name it. On that note, everyone, be peaceful, and a word from our sponsors.
When the world needs saving, the world turns to Superman.
Superman's not just a superhero, he's the superhero.
Superboy and Steel on the super team.
This is Steel. He's got an armor suit, and check out that hammer.
Pow!
Superboy rides in on his motorcycle
and blasts him.
Bam! Pow!
Kandu is a supervillain.
He's got these power cables that go Superman comes in like boom!
Bad guys gotta learn.
You don't mess with the ass!
Vehicles each sold separately. You hear that, Ian? You don't mess
with the S, baby. I love it.